Today we, of course, remember and celebrate our Lord's great act of love, a sacrifice of himself. There's not much we can say following that reading. A couple things for us to keep in our mind, and some of you have been walking with us through this Lenten season, slowly listening to the final words of Christ. And today we contemplate our Lord's final words, "It is finished," which we heard just proclaimed from John's Gospel. And in these words, we see a great summary of what our Lord was about. And I think it encapsulates the entirety of our Lord's mission. What our Lord is telling us in this moment is he came to do many, many different things. And at this time, these words are a great cry of victory, of triumph. That Satan is not the victor, but that our Lord is. A couple of ways we want to maybe keep that in mind, because this is how our Lord expresses his love to us and how he stays close to us. The first is in the lens of salvation history. Since the beginning, Adam and Eve fell. They gave into sin. From that time, every one of us has fallen into sin in our own life. What we see God doing throughout salvation history is through the Old Testament, he slowly reveals himself more and more to his people. Every time he enters into a covenant, he pulls back the veil a little bit more, showing us more of his heart, showing us more of what we are meant to do, what we're meant to be about, always inviting us to go deeper. It's a beautiful thing for us to contemplate, but for the sake of our own individual salvation, God put all of creation moving towards this moment, fulfilling those beautiful words that he said in Genesis to our first parents, especially our mother, Eve. "So I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at their heel." And he gives that first promise of a Savior before he punishes them for their sin. And so what our Lord says is all of the suffering that you go through, all of the difficulties you go through, there is still redemption. There will still be salvation. I will still call you to myself. And from that moment on, again, everything points to what we are celebrating in these holy days. The coming of the Savior, his institution of the church, his giving us himself in the Eucharist, and then his death, and ultimately, his resurrection. We are called to share in that each and every day. And our prayers and our liturgies at this time, even when we're focusing on specific parts of our Lord's passion, specific parts leading up to it, we always have that idea, that hope of the resurrection. That constant reminder that no matter how bad it gets, God can restore us. A reminder that our God has won. All we have to do is receive that love and share it with others. We also see and heard in our gospel three moves of our Lord leading to those final words of "It is finished." First, a beautiful entrusting of Mary to the beloved disciple, to us, making sure that we know we have somebody walking with us through all the difficulties of this life, all the trials, all of the sufferings. Just as Mary was with her son, she's with us, her children. Our Lord said, "I thirst." And this speaks to how our Lord will continue to stay with us. We heard last night the Mass of the Lord's Last Supper. We remember the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the Eucharist. We heard from Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth. In that, he tells us that the cup that we use at Mass is a third of four cups of the Jewish Passover, the cup of blessing. Many of our theologians now are proposing what our Lord is doing when he says, "I thirst," is he's bringing to a close that sacrifice, the offering of himself as the perfect lamb. And in that, of course, giving us the gift of the Eucharist. Now that he has completed the sacrifice, he is now ready to say, "It is finished." The font of our life, her life in Christ is now established. He will stay with us throughout the ages in the gift of the Eucharist, always allowing us to draw near, allowing us to grow close to him. And in all of this, especially as our Lord being a sacrifice, John makes it absolutely clear that our Lord is always in control. As Jesus said very clearly, if he wanted, he could have called down legions of angels to save him. But out of love for you, he didn't. He allowed himself to suffer, to die. And in these holy days, the church wants us to remember that great act of love. Because if we don't get that right, the rest of our spiritual life is going to be a mess. Each and every day we need to approach the cross. We need to reverence it. Show God our love for him. Our appreciation for what he has done for us. We get to do that in a beautifully profound way and just a little bit later in our liturgy. We also heard in our Passion story that Jesus says he didn't lose anybody who came to him. And so if we choose Christ, if we embrace that gift, we will never be lost. Christ will always take care of us, always giving us what we need for the sake of our salvation. It does not mean it's going to be easy. In fact, our Lord shows us the contrary today. But he's with us. The only way that we forfeit that is by our own free choice. But again, if we turn around, move towards him, he'll gladly run to us. Again, when we are even given the opportunity to venerate the Holy Cross tonight, I want to invite you to embrace everything that it has to offer. All the suffering, all the difficulties, all of the trials. Unite yourself to Christ. Commit right now to give the rest of our lives to our Lord. Pray for the strength and the courage to do so. And know that in that offering, in that sacrifice, no matter where we are in our journey, God will do something beautiful with it. God will save souls. God will call people back to him. The entirety of our mystery of these days tells us that fact. And so embrace it, invite the Lord into our life in a deeper way, and thank God for the ability to share in his cross.